All right, thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning, 9:25:22. This is a teaching called Fasting and Praying. This is kind of on the tail end of what I just taught about binding and loosing. I believe they go hand in hand. All right, we established last Sunday that fasting and praying is coming aside and looking inside. Before Jesus went to the Father, he told those present that these signs would follow those who believe. This is Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Well, maybe it isn't. Wait a minute. It's 18. No, it's not. Just a minute. It's 17, the very first of it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Isn't that what we're talking about? Casting out devils? All right. Before Jesus went to the Father, he told them that these signs would follow them. They were used to it because Jesus, when they were doing their ministry, there were times that he sent them out independent of him, and he gave them power. His kind of power to deal with situations. All right? Now turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Verse 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. That means if you wait and you do it God's way and you listen to his voice, you're not going to be embarrassed, are you? Ever come away from a deliverance session back in the day? And nobody ever got free of anything? I mean, you talk about a demonstration in the flesh. You can't do it except by the finger of God. Yeah. In fact, a lot of people got probably more demons than they had after that, what we did. Yeah. We didn't know any better. Jesus didn't just go about binding strong men off the top of his head. All right, go back now. Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a straw man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the straw man, and then he will spoil his house? I've been asking the Lord why we are having so much backlash. I've been seeking him about it. At times, it's been unbearable. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? I think these scriptures kind of sum it up. So I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and I hope it will help you too. The first one's in Acts chapter 19. It could be because we're just binding and loosening and saying and doing it, blah, 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 blah. We're stirring up the demons, okay, but they're right lashing back out at us. Sounds like to me when Jesus took out the strong man, he just took out. So we'll see. Acts 19:11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, that so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons, one of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And it talks about they got rid of all their magic arts. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. Why? They saw the kingdom of God in manifestation, not a big display of somebody that didn't know what they're doing and got their rear ends kicked. Backlash is not victory, as far as I'm concerned. It's not. All right, flip back over to Matthew chapter 8. Hasn't it been kind of the customary that when you start pushing back, you get pushback? But if you bind the strong man, doesn't that render him ineffective against you? That's my thinking. 8:28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him 2 possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Behold, they cry out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou canst us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of the swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the sea and told everything and what had befallen to the possessed of the devils. Yeah. What's the difference here? I mean, them devils knew who had the authority and who didn't. They knew. He sent them where he wanted them to go. Told them flat out. I don't see any backlash here. Maybe the people in the town. But you know what? They should have been happy because these 2 demon-possessed people were terrorizing the place. Kind of like the people on the streets, Antifa and all these people doing these heinous things today. They're just nothing but demon-possessed people. Let's just get it straight. It hadn't changed. Just because we've become more sophisticated does not mean the devil's not the devil. He ain't doing the same old thing he was doing in Jesus' day today. All right, the victory is mine when the battle is the Lord's, right? I can't say that I've got my full answer yet, but I'm just putting that out there. You can pray about it and see what you get about it. Thinking, Lord, with this, it makes you just want to back off and not do anything. But the thing is, we're in it too far. We can't. All right, Colossians 2. Maybe we just give the devil too much glory. I don't know. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So Jesus stomped him. I mean, he whipped him. Let me say this to you. Then why do we pound the devil as if it is by our own works that he is defeated? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe we walk too much under, too much just struggling instead of walking like we're free. Isn't our victory already complete and each battle already won? Is it or isn't it? Let me read that again. Jesus whipped the devil, right? Then why do we pound the devil as if it is by our own works that he is defeated? I remember Smith Wigglesworth. Or whatever book I read it in, it was what they were quoting, something that he did, that the devil would wake him up at night and he'd turn over and go, "Oh, it's only you." Roll back over and go to sleep. So, "Oh, I'll find you and you, I'll send you to hell." Come on, y'all. We just, sometimes I think, if he's the defeated foe, then why are we acting like he's big, bad, and ugly? I mean, Paul asked the Lord 3 times, "Can't you get this off of me, Lord?" And he says, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." And then on the island, the viper comes out of the heat, fastens on the hand. He goes, "Shh." What was the difference? I guess he learned to not give the devil any attention. You know, he craves attention, right? So when you're going, "I'm a binding, I'm a loosing, I'm a blah, blah, whatever," all the stuff we go through and what we say, unless we're hearing it, okay, Lord, you see what's going on here, what should I do about it? And just shut your mouth and don't do anything until you get an answer. We're not playing church, right? This isn't really church. This is training. I remember one time a lady that I loved very much was a very spiritual lady. She's no longer with us. She's in heaven. She'd pray about this ministry. She said, "I'm just not sure you're a church." She said, "I think maybe you're a training center." And I'm thinking, yeah, I think she was right on to something. We don't need church. We don't need churchy stuff. We need to be trained. We need to know how to operate the kingdom of God like Jesus did and be successful at it, where people can come to us and they can get free. What good is it if they can't? There's a million churches out there that they can go and just have their little, "Oh, little darling, oh." This isn't a sympathy club. Yes, we have compassion for people, but this is serious business. We're not playing church here. Father has already won every battle for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So what is the problem? Fasting and praying. There's the problem. We must get Father's instructions when engaging the enemy. Isn't that what Jesus did? Or we're going to be like the 7 sons of Sceva and get our butts kicked. Pardon my use of that word. But I'm telling you the truth. How much of it do we bring on ourselves because we're in the flesh? Ah, help us, Lord. Let's read a few more scriptures. Matthew 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. God is our only source. He lives in us. Not what Brother Hagin did in this situation, or Brother Capps did in this situation, or what Kenneth Copeland's doing today. We have one source. He lives in us. That's the only one we need to be asking about anything. But the ship was not now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. See, he went up into the mountain to pray. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus went up in the mountain to pray. He comes walking on the water. And then the storm ceases. Quite a faith lesson, right? That was power, y'all. That resurrection power, that power that raised him from the dead kind of power. That's the only power I'm interested in. I don't care if I'm ever known or ever seen by anybody. I really don't. But I want that power in my life. I want to know when they come visit me and they get prayed for, the power of God shows up. That's why people call me all the time to pray about their situation, because God gives me wisdom for their situation. I don't do it lightly, and it's not my own words. I said, "Lord, I wish you'd answer my questions like you did for everybody else. I wish your help." See, God wants to help his people, but it's by his finger, not our finger. I remember one time Joyce Meyer said, "We're human doings, not human beings, we're human doings. We're just doing this and doing that and trying this and trying that." God made us to be human beings, walking by his instructions, not by our own churchy stuff. And you know what worked for one faith teacher and what they did don't mean it's going to work for you. In fact, I can pretty well plan or take it to the bank that it won't. Because God doesn't do everything the same all the time. He does some, just looking in the ministry of Jesus, the different things that God used him to do. Raising the dead, walking on the water, multiplying loaves and fishes. Paying taxes out of the coin in the fish's mouth. God is very unique. He may tell you something to do he's never told anybody ever to do. Isn't that what we want? To be God-powered? Not soul-powered. Flesh-powered. Okay. Luke 5. 33. And they said unto him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" And he said unto them, "Can you make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." I have to come aside because I'm no longer here to show them how to do it and to talk with them directly. They'll have to get it from the inside. We should be like Oop. I don't do nothing less God says. Except when it comes to Twinkies, he said. All right, Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusteth against, or the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now here's the law. The works of the flesh are. And it goes on and lists them. We're getting into some areas in the 17 counties in the state capital, and we will not be effective to taking out these strongholds without God's plan. There's an army of dark forces arrayed against us, and they are real. In fact, the spiritual is more real because it is eternal and not temporal. Jesus already defeated them, but we must be the enforcers. We, as I stressed last week, must fast and pray, come aside and look inside to make this connection. This assures victory because it will be by the finger of God. I think a lot of our problem is that we think we must be doing something about everything all the time. Did Jesus operate that way? No, he didn't. He got Father's plan and then he executed Father's plan. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, hitherto I work. John 9, 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. John 12, 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's got all the answers. John 17, 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the works which thou gavest me to do. If Father didn't say anything, he didn't do anything. When Lazarus was sick, they pulled on him, but he didn't go. Aren't you tired of battling? Seems to be our biggest problem is resting. Our minds just will not let us rest. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We aren't short on doing stuff, that's for sure. But we are on resting. All right, go to Daniel chapter 10. Maybe he's just bringing us where he's intended to bring us all along. He'll let you come to the end of yourself, you know it. So you'll come aside and say, okay, Lord, what's up? Say, well, I've been trying to get your attention. So, well, Lord, now you got it. All right. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. All 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Adekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold ephah. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms as his feet, like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words was like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set be upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Stand upright, for unto thee now am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, I became dumb, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. What did I read that for? Well, I've got some points here. Was Daniel battling for those 3 weeks? Was he battling? No, angels were. The angels were battling. He was fasting and praying. Yeah. He was waiting on an answer. He had pulled aside and was looking inside. While he was doing that, that battle was raging. You heard the angels speak to him about the prince of Persia, how Michael helped him, had to intervene. All our victories are inside of us, just ready to be revealed as we pull aside and look inside. Think about David. David inquired of the Lord. Well, don't do it the way you did it last time. This time, go by way of the mulberry trees. When you hear the sound of the mulberry trees, Gideon. Pitcher in one hand and horn, was it a horn in the other? Trumpet. The angels battled for 3 full weeks, the real battle, the one that belongs to the Lord, and Daniel was totally unaware of it. He just knew his answer hadn't come. But they were working behind the scenes. Victory does not come by how many rebukes and how many I bind yous you say. When you hear from Father, one word will remove a mountain. See, when Jesus speaks to mountains, they move. When we speak to mountains, a lot of times they've been there for 20 years. Think they're ever going to move? James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah. In our flesh, we are no match for the devil, but Jesus is, and he has already whipped him. He's already done battle. In fact, Ephesians 6, it's just simply a stand. It's a stand in prayer. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So you've made your stand, and you're in prayer. That's your stand. A stand of faith and prayer. This keeps the devil on the defense and you on the offense. Matthew 16:19. He's given unto us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What is that? What are the keys? A key is as in shutting a lock. Let me look at Matthew 7:7 here. I wrote that down. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Your supply is never to be in the flesh, but of the Spirit. I think it's more about asking and just standing than it is anything else. Praying in the Spirit. Let the Lord tell you what to do. Anytime I've had the Lord give me a word like that about a situation, there was manifestation. And it was quick. All right, Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We're not looking for our supply. We're wore out. Our supplies are just ragged. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? All right, supply means contribution. Supply means to make replete, to cram, level up a hollow, to furnish, imbue, diffuse, influence, satisfy, execute, finish, verify, accomplish, complete, end, expire, fill up, fulfill, perfect. See, we're looking for God's supply. We run out. Our flesh just can't hold out for very long. God does all of this for those who that wait on Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be, whatever, walk and not faint. Lord, teach me to wait. See, He has to supply us with what we need to use for whatever battle we'll face, whatever situation we face. Like I said, we would do better to say nothing. Do nothing. Pray in the Spirit. Get your answer. And then do what it says to do. Do what the Spirit tells you to do. And I think there's going to be a change in how you feel. You won't be all wore out all the time. Well, if I could just say it 150 times, it might come to pass. Well, it doesn't work that way. We're looking for a spirit supply, right? We're operating the kingdom of God. This is a spiritual kingdom. It says it comes not with observation, because the Spirit of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. So what are we doing? We're manifesting the kingdom of God out to others. Well, we can't get that from out here. We got to get it from in here. When people ask me to pray, I do. Sometimes I don't get anything. More times than not, though, usually the next morning I have an answer. And I'll give it to them. I didn't wear me out either. I didn't have to rebuke the devil 150 times. Or bind the devil. Or loose this and... See, these are all tools that we use, but it's by the Spirit. It does no good in the flesh. It just doesn't. All right. Having God's plan is full supply and absolute victory. What is so amazing about this is when you are praying in the Spirit, God is giving you the battle plan. It's between you and Him, and Satan cannot intercept it, stand against it, or counter it. Let me say that again. While you're praying, all right. Having God's plan is full supply and absolute victory. What's so amazing about this is when you're praying in the Spirit, God is giving you the battle plan. It's between you and Him, and Satan cannot intercept it, stand against it, or counter it. One thing President Trump said when he first came into office, he said, no longer, ever again, will we disclose to anyone what we are doing. Talking about our Army, Navy, Marines. Why? Because we were all losing. They still, this is why everybody gets so frustrated, they will not disclose their plans or what they're doing, because if they tell you, they've told the enemy. Here we are, always a spewing and a talking. Oh, do-do-do-do-do-do, eyes up all night, blah, blah, blah. That's not what you ought to be doing. I believe it is our babblings in the flesh that make us look like a red flag to a bull. This is when the devil can target you like he did the seven sons of Sceva. Make it a habit to come aside and look inside. It will take you out of the line of fire. To be able to walk higher in every way, going from glory to glory instead of misery to misery. We'll walk in a place where everyone will say, I perceive they've been with Jesus. Walking in complete victory every day. Not once in a while getting a victory, but every day. Talk a lot, sin a lot. Death and life are the power of the tongue. This is usually everybody's biggest problem. right? All right, a few more scriptures and we're going to be done here. Mark 16:17 again. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. What was the second thing? They shall speak with new tongues. There's the answer to casting out them devils right there. It'll come that way. That's how our Father communicates to us. It's our coded language. The devil can't intercept. The devil can't understand. If he hears you praying in the flesh, he hears you. But when you pray, you know, the Lord, it says, go to your Father in secret and pray in secret, and the Father will reward you openly. Well, that might not just mean you don't let anybody know what you prayed. It may just mean you're praying in the Spirit and the devil can't intercept it. Just a thought. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Paul said this, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now you know why. You know how Paul was able to overcome all them situations and shipwrecks and those being beaten and all these things thrown in jail? He spoke in tongues more than all of us. What do you think got him through? Praying in tongues. When he's on the island on that ship for 2 weeks in that hurricane, those men were so distraught. But Paul, he said, don't despair. This night an angel stood by my side and said, you got to stand before Caesar, so I'm going to give you the ship and all that are with you. That was by the supply of the Spirit. Because by the looks of it, they weren't going to make it. In fact, when they hit that sand or whatever, the ship came apart. And then, the snake. He said, I know I'm going to stand before Caesar, shake. Yeah. What do you think got him through that? I speak with tongues more than you all. When God is in the plan, it's easy. When flesh is in the plan, it is hard. If it gets hard, do a self-test. God is doing the battle for us, so it's time for us to stop battling. All right, Ephesians 5. A couple more scriptures. Ephesians 5:18-19. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, I've got Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm going to end with this. Back many years ago when Brian was pretty young, he got to where he got real panicky during storms and everything. And one day we were going to clean the office, and the office I cleaned at that time. And the Lord gave me this song, Speak to the Mountain, and I sang it to him. And later I told him, I said, how's that song working? He said, it doesn't scare me anymore. See, these songs that God gives us, They're warfare. They are. See? It delivers. These songs are not for just to sing and sound nice. They're mountain moving songs at the proper time. So, you know, just be open to that. God gives us songs to sing. Sometimes we speak, sometimes we sing. But that He uses those. So be open to that. You pray in the Spirit. It says we're supposed to all be doing it, not just two of us. Okay. I think you get the message.